Praise the Lord, everyone. Let's give that hand clap to the Lord tonight. Lord, we love you, Jesus. We thank you, Lord, for your goodness and your mercy, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah, 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 Jesus. Hallelujah, Jesus. I'm going to let you be seated. I'm going to read a few scriptures, but I'm going to let you be seated tonight. And this whole week, this has been my anniversary week. Monday was my 18th anniversary to my lovely wife sitting right over here. And I jokingly put in a Facebook post that I've had to put up with her for 18 years. Yes, I know, it was bad. But I couldn't resist. It's hard to be good sometimes. You guys know me. So I'm amongst family tonight, so most of you know who I am, and so you know me. So this whole week, I've been kind of thinking about love. And the love that I have for this church, my pastor, my pastor's family, the ministry, this church, just you in general. For the kids of this church, they know I love them, don't you? I try to show them and tell them every day, the young people of this church, I love you. I really do. That's how I can get on to you. You know, you hear me get on to you and I get on to the kids. That's because I love you. And I started thinking about the love that I have for my wife and my children, and took my wife away. We weren't here Sunday. I tuned in a little bit to, I'm glad we've got live streaming. I was able to hear some. But we went away for the weekend and went to Cincinnati and spent some time together. Sometimes it's good just to get away with that, the one that you love. And so as I was studying, I was kind of planning on going a different direction, and then this kept coming back to me, and I started thinking about God's love for you and me. The love that God has for you and for us. And if you have your Bibles, turn to Mark chapter 12 and verse 30. Mark chapter 12 and verse 30, and then we're going to John chapter 21. But Mark chapter 12 and verse 30 says, go to verse 29. It says, and Jesus answered him, the first of all the commandments is, hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord. And verse 30 says, and thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy mind, and with all thy strength. This is the first commandment. And the second is namely this, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. There is none other commandment greater than these. And then if you turn to John, and I use this scripture a lot when I'm teaching Bible studies, so those of you who have been in my Bible study seminar or listen to me, I've used this before. St. John chapter 21, beginning with verse 15, so when they had dined, Jesus said unto Simon Peter, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me more than these? He saith unto him, yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. And he said unto him, feed my lambs. He saith unto him again a second time, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? And he saith unto him, yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. And he saith unto him, feed my sheep. He saith unto him a third time, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? And the Bible says that Peter was grieved because he said unto him a third time, lovest thou me? And he said unto him, Lord, thou knowest all things. Thou knowest that I love thee. And Jesus said unto him, feed my sheep. In Mark chapter 12 and verse 30, Jesus gave the greatest of all the commandments. He said that thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, mind, soul, and strength. It comes as no surprise that then Jesus asked Peter, do you love me? He he wanted to know. He said, "Peter, do you love me?" He asked him three times. Can you imagine? Has anybody been in love? Anybody in here in love? Are you anybody in here love tonight? Anybody in love with someone tonight? Brother Worthen, if you went to your wife and said, "Do you love me?" And she said, "Yes, Brother Worthen, I love you." And then you ask her again, "Are you sure? Are you sure you love me?" Can you imagine? Third time, do you really love me? There's something about love that really you should never have to ask. I should never have to ask my wife, "Do you love me?" It should be a shown. It should be given. It should be freely given, and she should know that I love her. Now, with love, young people, listen very carefully to me. I remember 19 years ago, I started dating my wife. And there is no greater thing than falling in love with somebody. The little dates, the first time you hold her hand. Anybody remember this? I know some of you are older, but hopefully you haven't forgotten those first dates that you went on and the tingly butterfly feelings that you used to get when you would just see her and just talk to her. There would be hours. On Sunday nights, I would be so tired on Mondays because she lived an hour away, and we would talk on, like, she would come to Indianapolis, and that's where I lived, and she would go to church. We went to church together at Calvary, and she would have to drive home, so I would stay on the phone to the point that I would start to fall asleep, and she would start to fall. You'd have to go, "Hello, are you still there?" Because, you know, I just wanted to be on the phone with her. I just wanted to talk to her. There's nothing greater than that feeling of falling in love with somebody. Samuel, you'll know this one of these days. One of these girls will send you a note that they love you, and you know, it happens. You start to fall in love with somebody, and there's no greater feeling than that falling in love and those tingling of holding hands and the first time that you give them a kiss and you say, "I love you." I remember the first time I said "I love you" to her. I was so smooth about it. I was like, "What would you say if I told you I love you?" And I kind of waited with this silent pause. You know, it's really awkward, but you get these little feelings and these butterflies, and there's nothing like falling in love. But after 18 years of being married, the tingly feelings they're not always there. I still love her. Without a doubt, I still love her, and I hope she knows that, and I try to show her, but sometimes I just forget to tell her. I don't tell her like I used to every day. I would say, "Oh, I love you." And I still try to do that. But there are days that you get busy and things happen in life and goes on. And I probably don't show her like I used to show her. I used to send her a dozen roses every month, I think. The first, I haven't sent her flowers in I can't remember how long. You know, sometimes our love hasn't changed, but the way we show our love sometimes changes. Now, after 18 years of marriage, sometimes I love to make her angry. Sometimes I like to get on her nerves. You know, sometimes the way I love her changes a little bit. There's times that she likes to make me angry because she's quite good at it. But I love her in the good times, and I love her in the bad times. I love her when things aren't going as good, and I love her when things are going great. I love her when she makes me angry, and I love her when she gets on my nerves. It's love. That is true love, when you can love somebody when you're angry at them. I don't always like her, but I love her. Now, I'm saying that, and it is double vice versa, because I get on her nerves all the time, and I make her angry a lot, and I'm not always the best husband that I should be. And I don't always tell her, and I don't always show her the way I love her and the way I feel. Sometimes I fall short. And it takes special occasions like our anniversary, and that's why they come up with all these holidays, you know, birthdays and Valentine's Days, to just make us guys show our love for our spouses. Because we're not very good at it. Most of us. There might be a few exceptions, but most of us really aren't good at it. And in this world that we live in today, when love is so miscued and love is freely given and taken, and it's not true love, everybody's looking for this relationship and these googly feelings and these butterflies, and that's what they think love is. They don't know how to love somebody in good times and in bad times. And sometimes I think that we bring this love, the world's concept of love, into the church and into our love one for another. I'm going to love you just when you're doing what I want you to do, and I'm going to love you when things are going good and when things are right, and when, but when you get on my nerves, I'm not going to love you anymore. And when you talk about me, I'm going to know where I'm at. I've been there. I've got angry with people in church. And sometimes when you're not my wife, it's hard to love you when I'm angry at you. And when you're not my kids, I remember the first time when Josie came along. It's the first time I ever really realized what true love was. I mean, unconditional love. You know, I learned to love my wife, but when my daughter come along, I just loved her. She didn't have to do anything but just show up. I remember the first time I held her, and I was like, oh my Lord, this is my daughter. She was so cute, so small. I held her just like this. And I started to think, you know, the kind of love that God has for us, that love that we really don't have to do anything to gain God's love for us. The greatest evidence of the gospel, that of God's love, is that when he touches a person's life and they are changed, when God comes down and he touches our lives and we truly become changed, see, we have to fall in love with him. He loves us unconditionally. He loves us like I love my daughters, that when I first time I held them, I just loved them because they were mine. But we have to fall in love with him. It's not natural for us. It doesn't come natural for us. If it did, we wouldn't walk away, and it wouldn't be so easy for us to fail and to fall short if we loved him, because he says, if you love me, keep my commandments. That's why we pray. That's why we read our Bible. That's why we come to church. That's why we forsake not the assembling of ourselves together. It's to come to church with people of like mind and to get re-energized and to feel his presence and to feel his spirit and to fall in love with him all over again. As we begin to fall in love with Jesus and we begin our walk with God and we begin to develop a prayer life that's why we come to church, is to develop a life with him, to walk with him and to talk with him, to pray, and to prayer is our communication with God. If I only talk to my wife on Sunday and on Wednesday, what kind of relationship would I have with her? But a lot of times we treat God that way. Well, it's Wednesday night. I need to go to church and I need to talk to God. Or it's Sunday morning. I better go to church. And some people, it's just Easter and Christmas that they're here. But it's about a walk with God. It's about falling in love with him. It's about gazing in his eyes and feeling his presence and hearing his voice. Luke 7, verses 36 through 50, it tells the greatest love story, I think. And it reads like this: Simon the Pharisee invited Jesus to come over and have dinner. Now, this was a man who was a church-going man, a man who was a Pharisee. They were the church of that time. He invited, he said, Jesus, come over and have dinner with me. And he brought him into his house, and he made him dinner. And he was sitting and talking, and while they were sitting there, a woman comes in, a woman of ill repute, and comes in and breaks open her alabaster box and pours it all over Jesus' feet. And she washes his feet with the precious ointment that she had. And then she begins to dry his feet with her hair. And her tears were running down. And the Bible says her tears washed his feet. And she began to dry his feet. And then she began to kiss his feet. And she began to show the Lord how much she loved him. While all the Pharisees were sitting around talking, this woman was pouring out her love on her Savior, on Jesus. And all of them sat back and wondered why they would do this. Why would she do this? Look at her. It's one of the greatest love stories of all time. The Pharisees wondered why Jesus would let such a woman touch him. And Christ said to them, two men were in debt to a certain moneylender. One owed him 500 pieces of silver and the other 50. When neither could repay, the man forgave them both and he canceled their debt. Which of these two men will be more grateful? And the Pharisee replied, I suppose the one who had the bigger debt canceled. And Jesus said, that's right. He said, look at this woman. When I entered the room, you offered me no water for my feet. But this woman has washed my feet with her tears and dried them with her hair. When did you greet me with a kiss? But this woman, from the time that she has entered, has not stopped kissing my feet. You provided no oil for my head, but she has bathed my feet with costly perfume. Her sins may have been many, but they are forgiven. And this is why she shows me love. When reading this account, we often forget that the woman in this story had feelings just like ourselves. The last place she wanted to go was to the Pharisee's house. The last place she wanted to go was to a place where people were going to look at her and they knew of her sins. They knew what sins she had committed. They knew how she lived her life. But she took the chance, because she knew that if I could just get a hold of Jesus, that he was going to forgive me of all my sins. She opened herself up to ridicule because she wanted to express her love for Jesus. I start to think sometimes we go to school, young people, and you don't even want to tell your friends where you go to church. Jesus died on the cross. The Bible says, while we were yet sinners, that he demonstrated his love for us. That while we were yet sinners, he died on the cross. Shed his blood, hung on the cross and died, took stripes so that we would not have to be sick, so that we could be healed of our sickness. And yet we go to work and we don't want to talk to anybody about God, and we don't want to share our testimony of how God has touched our lives. We sometimes get ashamed to mention where we go to church or what we do. We don't want to raise our hands in public and begin to worship him because what are they going to think of me? But Jesus loves us unconditionally. Even when we fail, even when we fall, he loves us. It's like the love that you have for your kids. Even when they mess up, you still love them. That you would die for them. You would protect them to the ends of the world. You would do anything for them because of the love that you have for them. How do we express our love for him? How do we show our love for a Savior who gave his life, who done so much for us? I don't want to be ashamed to show my love for my Savior. I don't want to be ashamed to show my love for God. I don't want to be ashamed to show him how much I love him. He gave his all for me. He gave his life for me. He shed his blood for me that I could have eternal life, that I could be saved. He said, I come to give you life and to give it to you more abundantly. I came not to destroy, but to save that which was lost. Sometimes I think I don't show my wife how much I love her, but then I start, when I thought about that, I was thinking this weekend, we just kind of got away, and it's been so long, and we really didn't do a whole lot. We just kind of relaxed and got away and spent time together. We didn't do anything fancy. We went out to eat a few times, nice restaurants, and went to a couple places. But I left there, and I remember driving home, and I looked over, and she was asleep. She usually sleeps when I drive. And I remember thinking, oh, I wished I would have done more for her. She deserves more. She's had to put up with me for 18 years. I wished I would have done more for her. I wished I could have done more. And as I was reading the last couple of days, I began to think how much more. I've been in church since I was 9 years old. 35 years I've been in church. And oh, I was praying over here tonight. I was praying, God, how I failed you. Oh, how I would do things over again. Young people, if I could go back and be your age again and know what I know now, not to make the mistakes that I have made in my life and to have a second chance to live some of those years over again and just show God how much I love him, how much I care about him, how much that I adore him and how good he's been to me. When I think about what the Lord has done in my life, when I think about what he's done for me and the blessings, even when I didn't deserve it, when I've walked away from him, when I haven't lived for him, when I have failed him, when I have sinned, those sins I knowingly committed, you know, when I do it, I know I've done it. But what about the sins I don't even know I commit? Each and every day, I pray, God, forgive me for those sins I knowingly committed and forgive me for my sins that I didn't even know I committed. Because, God, I want you to know that I love you. More than anything in this world, the whole Bible, if you could wrap up into one word, it's submission. I think if you take the whole Bible as a whole and put it, I think it is submission. If I could just submit myself to God, that is what it's about. It's not about following the letter of the law. It's about the intent of the heart. It's God, do I show you that I love you? God, is my heart right with you? I may make mistakes and I may fall short and I may not be living the way that I should be living, but God, is my heart right with you? As the musicians come, I want you to stand across this building, and maybe you're here tonight and you've walked away from God and you don't say, God, you know, you don't even know, Brother Pace, the things that I've done. Well, you don't know the things that I have done in my life. The ways that I've fallen short, the ways that I've displeased God. And maybe you say, I'm not worthy of God's love. I'm not worthy of what he is. But that's the good thing about God, is you don't have to be worthy, because he's standing with his arms wide open saying, if you would just come to me. He doesn't force himself on you. He's not going to force you and say, I'll make you give him a hug. I remember when I was 15 years old, I was in my bedroom and I was praying, and I had a bad day and it was a bad situation. My home life wasn't great. Young people, you can serve God in a bad home life, let me tell you. And I remember going in my bedroom and I remember saying, oh God, if I could just feel you, if you could just come down here and just give me a hug. And I remember as I thought that, it felt like this warm presence just surrounded me. And it was like God wrapped his arms around me. I said, God, if I could just feel you, if I could just know that you love me. And it was like he come into that room and he wrapped his arms around me. And he told me he loved me, and I could feel his presence. And that is what the presence of the Lord will do for you. It doesn't matter how far you've gone, how much you've messed up, or where you've been. All you have to do is like the prodigal son, come back home. Come back into the presence of God and lift your hands and begin to tell God how much you love him, how sorry you are for the way you've let him down. And he begins, he doesn't say you have to live a perfect life, but he begins then his presence begins to sweep over your heart, sweep over your soul, sweep over your life. That is the goodness and the mercy and the greatness of our God. Is his love towards us. I don't know where you are when you're walk with God. I don't know what you've done. I don't know where you've been. I don't know what you've been through, because you don't even have to walk away from God. You could have lived for God all your life, but sometimes it's just good to feel God's love and to tell him how much you love him and to feel his presence. That is what his presence is. It's him letting you know that he loves you. And if you just need a good old-fashioned, come to the altar and let your pour your heart out like she opened her alabaster box. Just let your tears fall at his feet. Let your tears wrap his life. Tell him how much you love him and let him come and just wrap his arms around you. This altar is open for anyone who needs something from God. He's here with his arms open wide, ready for you. Hallelujah, Jesus.